Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Welcome back. Today we begin our look into one of the many incommunicable attributes of God. This is the simplicity of God. I say to you that God is simple. And immediately you might feel an internal resistance to this. Simple? God is complex. God is complicated. God is not simple. Your experience in dealing with the living God is that he is not easy to understand. He is hard to understand. Yes, that is true. But it all depends on what we mean by the word simple. By simple, we do not mean that God is easy to understand. He is not. By simple, we do not mean that God is simple-minded. By simple, we do not mean that God is slow or dim-witted. By simple, we do not mean that God is simplistic. It is very important that you grasp what we do not mean when we say God is simple. If that is what we do not mean, then what do we mean? We are coming to that. But first, I want you to know that the doctrine or the teaching of divine simplicity, to say God is simple, this has been an integral part of what Christians have believed for many centuries. For a very long time, this was the confession of the Church Universal. Every Christian of multiple denominations, every Christian including Protestants and Catholics, all over the world believed in, taught, and affirmed that God is simple. But when modernity set in, and with the rise of the machines, this doctrine became less and less popular. So, for the last few centuries, it is rare to meet a Christian who has heard of this, let alone who can articulate what the simplicity of God means. Let me ask you, have you heard of this? Has divine simplicity come up in one of your pastor's sermons, in a small group Bible study, in a Christian book you have recently read, in a podcast you listen to? I would be very surprised if you said, oh yes, I've been taught this. I have thought through this. I am aware of this fundamental of the faith. But if we had been living a few centuries ago, not only would we have heard of this, we would have been educated to understand who God is in this respect, and the subject would have come up over and over again in our churches, communities, seminaries, homes, and schools. Let's take a couple of the early confessions of the Christian Church. The first line of the Belgic Confession, written in 1561, says this, quote, "We all believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that there is a single and simple spiritual being whom we call God." Let me give that to you again. We all believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that there is a single and simple spiritual being whom we call God. That's from the very beginning of the Belgic Confession of 1561. Or the 1646 Westminster Confession of Faith in Chapter 2, Section 1 says this, quote, "There is but one only living and true God, who is infinite in being and perfection, a most pure spirit, invisible, without body, parts, or passions." As we will see, to say God is without body and without parts is to say that God is simple. So again, at the very front of this classic and historic confession, we have this doctrine. That's why I say that had we lived in those days, most of us Christians would say with conviction, God is simple. Alas, we do not live then, we live now, so we need to recover what has sadly been lost. And that is partly why I want to teach this to you by the grace of God. To do this, I am going to follow a couple of pastor teachers. One is Kevin DeYoung, who does an excellent job of summarizing what this doctrine is about. And he begins with the statement in the Belgic Confession. That says, first, that God is single. That is, there is only one God. Second, God is spiritual. That is, God is not a material substance. God does not have a body like you and I have bodies. And third, God is simple. And by simple, we mean the opposite of a divine compound. Or, as the Westminster Confession says, God does not have parts. God is not made up of parts. Well, think again on God's attributes. We say some of God's attributes are goodness, mercy, justice, power, infinity, immutability, and so on. But we should not think of God as what we get when we combine or mix all of these together. We sort of piece all these together and we get God. We roll all that together into one divine being. We must not do this. That would make God the sum of his attributes, the sum of his parts. Each attribute of God is a percentage of who God is. Each attribute is a part of God. No. Because God has no parts. God is not a compounded being. Here, I think, are two helpful analogies. One is Lego. Lego is a construction toy consisting of interlocking plastic building blocks or parts. Do you remember playing with Legos when you were a child? Maybe you still play with them. My understanding is that Legos have developed to the point where people of all ages buy them and build all sorts of things. When visiting Osaka in Japan, Ling and I visited Legoland. Wow, if you thought Legos were just something scattered all over your children's or grandchildren's home, and you needed to be very careful where you stepped, because when you step on a Lego, it hurts. Well, think again. Lego is a worldwide, well-liked toy to play around with. We can use Lego to build, say, a tower. We take a bunch of different parts, and when we construct them all together, we get the tower. Well, God, the tower in our analogy, is not made out of parts, like blocks of Lego. Or you're in the kitchen last night and you're making a tasty dinner for you and your family, and you are following a recipe with lots of ingredients. You mix in some salt and pepper and tomato and garlic and some red sauce, and then you add meat. Each one of these ingredients represent a part of the meal. Well, God is not made up of parts like that dinner is. And I say this without being irreverent to God. Still following Dr. DeYoung as he reflects on the simplicity of God, as defined by the Belgic Confession, he warns us against thinking of God's attributes this way, because when we do, we are tempted to rank the attributes. We make some of greater and some of lesser importance. We are often tempted to say, or we hear people say, God has holiness, but God is love. The implication is love is the very nature of God, but the other attributes are somewhat incidental. 1 John 4, verse 8 says, God is love. True. But this is not more important than when the Bible says God is light, 1 John 1, 5, or God is spirit, John 4, 24, or God is a consuming fire, Hebrews 12, 29. DeYoung puts it this way, God does not just have some attributes. God is whatever he has. God is not the composite of his attributes. Every attribute of God is identical to his essence. This doctrine matters because it helps us to think about God in the right way. We should not conceive of a class of beings we call God and then relate certain attributes to this particular God. God is in a class by himself. He is not a type of divine being. We should believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that God is simple. Close quote. Friends, we do have to think of God in the right way. As Stephen Charnock, the great Puritan theologian, has written, though we cannot comprehend him as he is, we must be careful not to fancy him to be what he is not. And let me say that again. Though we cannot comprehend him as he is, we must be careful not to fancy him to be what he is not. Sinclair Ferguson puts it this way. The simplicity of God is not that God is simple-minded. It is that, ultimately, all of his attributes are just himself. His attributes are all who he is. The attributes are not elements that, when added together, make up the being of God so he gets bigger and bigger. They are really ways of expressing the sheer density of the simplicity of the perfection of his being who he is. End quote. Are you with me? By simple, we mean that God does not have parts. He is not made up of parts. We mean the opposite of a divine compound. God is not part love and part holy and part grace and part eternal and part immutable and so on. God is simply God. We'll let this sink in overnight, and then when we gather next time, we'll pick up on what we have said and explore this a bit further. I told you we would need to think. I hope you'll be thinking together with us on this broadcast and on this podcast, and we will think together because God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.